This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are in a series entitled Destinations. This is part four, and Destinations is all about a journey to God's best in your life. And how many know that God has taken all of us somewhere? He's taken all of us on a journey, and no matter where you are in your on your journey, no matter what the obstacle might have been, no matter if you hit a roadblock along the way, because you are a king's kid, because you are a child of the Most High God, no matter what comes and no matter what goes, everything is going to work out for your good. Amen. I mean, even if it doesn't look like it right now, if you hang in there and walk out this word, it is going to work out for your good. Our foundational passage, there it is, Romans 8 and 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And because we love God and we're called according to his purpose, we know everything is going to work out. Even though something took you by surprise, it hasn't taken God by surprise, and God already knows what he's going to do in your life. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's never going to walk away from you. He's never going to change his mind about you, but you don't know what I did. It doesn't matter. You serve a loving God full of grace and full of mercy that has made a commitment to you that no matter how tough it gets, he's always going to be there. Does that make sense? And so last week we talked from the subtopic of bad directions, and nobody likes bad directions because it takes you in the opposite place of where you're trying to go. And we said, as it is in the natural, so is in the spirit. You got it? That you know, when you start making bad choices, it puts you in a bad place. But to the degree I can learn to allow God's voice to be the loudest voice in my life, then I will hear his voice, a voice of a stranger I will not hear, and it'll take me in the right place. We are all running a race, but like Lady taught us in part one, we're not racing against each other. There is no competition in the kingdom of God. There are no big I's. There are no little U's. And so no matter where you are on your journey, no matter where I am on my journey, it is God's will that we are each of all of us experiencing God's best in our lives. So today, let me see. What have we talked about? The very first one, Lady talked about strength for the journey. Y'all remember that? And then we're on part four. And then, that's right, Deb. Thank you. But part two, we talked about detours and how detours, you know, are used by God sometimes to prevent you from some things, also to expose you to some things that are his will for your life. And then, of course, we talked about bad directions on last week. And today we're talking from the subject of pack light. Everybody say pack light. How do you pack for a trip? I've got a question for you. I want to know how you guys pack for a trip. And so I've got a question. If you were, let's just say you were to go, and y'all can talk back to me. Let's say you were to go on a one-night trip to Raleigh. I mean, you're going 2 hours up the road. You got it. You're going to spend the night, and you're going to come back the next day. How much luggage do you need to take? I need y'all to help me figure out how much luggage do you need to take. Two? Which two? Which two? The small one? The big one? This one? Okay, what do y'all say? Just one small one. Anybody gonna take the medium one? You gonna add anything to the medium? You are. Which one? The big one. You gonna take the big one and the medium? Is there anybody who would take all four? Somebody would probably take all four. You know, and I get it because, you know, it can't be hard to make up your mind. I mean, I came to church this morning, and when I came to church this morning, I had this shirt in my closet where I brought it with me, and then I also had, I normally wear like a blazer, and I had that in there, and then I also had a bomber jacket and a t-shirt. I couldn't make up my mind either, so I get it. You got it. So finally, ladies, like, what you gonna wear? The easiest thing to put on. I put this shirt on and came out. Praise the Lord. And so I get it. It can be difficult to really know. You know what you ought to bring. And so have you ever overpacked for a trip? Yeah. Have you ever went on a trip, came, you were so excited, and I need to take this, and I need to take this, and I need to take this. And ladies, I get it. You need to take, you know, the curling iron and then the backup curling iron. Like, I get there's certain things that you have to do. You got it? But have you ever come back from a trip, and when you come back from a trip, you realize there was this whole section of clothes that you did not even touch, right? And so, it, you know, that's okay when it comes to just, you know, just on a vacation. But I think that sometimes in life, we carry things that we really don't need to carry. Okay, Ben, come help me. And I'll put this small one on top of me. Praise the Lord. Hopefully I'm strong from the 9 o'clock. I was like, man, I didn't know how. Thank you, sir. Okay, appreciate it. All right. All right. All right. Oh, Ben, one more thing. I need you to come and slide my screen up. You see where it says Hebrews 12, that yellow? So slide it all the way up to the top where I can just see that. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. Okay. And so what happens is if we're not careful in life, we don't pack light and we carry things that we were never really designed to carry. Because when you overpack for a trip, you end up going on the trip with more luggage than you really need. Sometimes, you got it, you have what we call excess baggage. You got too much stuff. You got it? Yeah. Imagine if I was to show up to your house looking like this. Like imagine if you had invited me to your house for dinner, and the lady comes, and I'm there, and we're like, hey, a lady walks in, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? I'm ready to walk in. Like, what would you think? You got it? Some from the 9 o'clock would tell him, come on in. Somebody else from the 9 o'clock says, Pastor, is everything okay at home? You know, this is like all kind of questions because we are really not designed to carry extra weight. Hebrews 12 and 1, which is going to be one of my main scriptures today, says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Watch what verse 2 says. I love this part. Jesus is our prime example. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what happened? He endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If you really understand verse 2, Jesus went through some stuff. But he got through what he went through. And just like Jesus got through it, how many know if you're going through something in life, you're going to get through it. You're going to get on the other side and you're going to get the victory. Isn't that right? That's a good place to clap right there. So too many times in life, we walk around with excess baggage that we really don't need. And it's not always sin. You got it? You know, sometimes you go, I don't understand because, you know, I've been doing good. And, you know, when I did mess up, I asked God to forgive me and he forgave me. And so why is this going on? Why is that going on? Sometimes we're just carrying things we're not supposed to be carrying in life. Ben, I need you to come help me because it's time for me to go to my next screen. See, when you carry stuff you shouldn't carry, you can't do what you should normally be able to do. Oh, I'm teaching better than you shout, amen. Keep going. Right there. And so what happens is when you carry things you shouldn't carry, you can't function the way you're supposed to function. You got it? You're not free to help somebody else. You're not even free to do the things that you need to do because you're carrying things that you shouldn't carry. Let's talk for just a few minutes so I can go ahead and put these things down about some things that we shouldn't be carrying, all right? These weights that we shouldn't be carrying, like I said, it's not always the weight of sin. Now, we know sin is a weight, you know, that'll hold you down. Sin will take you places you don't want to go, leave you longer than you intended on staying, and make you pray prayers you should never pray. Lord, if you just get me out of this, I won't ever ask you to do anything for me again. I don't pray prayers like that because I figure I'm going to need him again. Right. And so, you know, but sometimes it's not sin. It's just weight. It's just things that we didn't let go, mother, along the way. It's just things that we held on to. You got it. You know, let's talk about weight. Some weights can be just past hurt and disappointments. Something that happened in a past relationship, you got it, or something that didn't work out, a goal that you had, you started a business and it didn't work out and you had to go back, you know, just working a job and, you know, those kind. Sometimes it's just you had a vision, you know, and it just didn't come to pass. Maybe you had a good friend and you thought y'all were going to be friends all your life and they changed their mind about you. Maybe you thought that coworker was just the best person until you find out they had been talking about you all along. And if you're not careful, hurt will start to build up if you don't give it to Jesus and let it go. You got it. And then when you get hurt and you get disappointments, you know, those are different weights. And then sometimes there's weights of fear. And we should not operate in fear, because the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Even though we know that this virus is real, we know that God is realer. I know really ain't a good word, but y'all, it's good. It's not good English, but it's good theology. You got it? Like, yes, we are social distancing, and yes, we're wearing masks. You got it? And we believe we're not always going to do this, but we're doing this for right now. We're trying to use wisdom and do the principal thing, because it's the principal thing. But above all, we believe in the blood of Jesus. For what can wash away our sins? And what can make us whole again? And what can protect us? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You got it? So I'm not scared of any virus. I'm going to use wisdom, but I'm not scared of anything. You got it? And so you have to walk around understanding that God has not given me a spirit of fear, that I have to walk in faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. If you're in fear, you're not in faith. The wonderful thing I love about God is in a moment, he can take you from a place of fear right over into a place of faith, and you can keep all trucking down the road. And so sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's depression. You got it? Because of things that have gone wrong, and you allow the enemy to just go overtime in your thinking. The enemy has just been round and round, and round she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows. Always putting all these negative thoughts. You see, you're a failure. If you had done this and instead of done that, then it wouldn't have worked out. And God is not pleased with you. Don't you listen to those kind of things. Don't you listen to the enemy when he talks to you like that. That's why the Bible says we have to cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the name and the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. How many know that could be a full-time job? I mean, sometimes at some seasons in our life, we can be a full-time job casting down thoughts. You got it? Well, I made a mistake. Well, welcome to the club, because we've all made mistakes. You got it? See, the only thing about a mistake is if you don't learn from the mistake. If you learn from the mistake, then you overcome the mistake, and the mistake doesn't overcome you. But irregardless of any mistake, I'm not going to let the devil play with my head. I'm not going to let the devil think that God doesn't love me, God doesn't care about me, God is not for me. The writer says, if God is for you, he's more than the whole world against you. The writer says that you have been free because of what Jesus did on Calvary, and whom the Son has made free. Oh my God. He is free indeed. Can I get a big amen? Yeah. And so the enemy will try to shoot you with low self-esteem and stress and anxiety, but you gotta let it go. Everybody say pack light. Oh, you gotta pack light. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says it best. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. I want you to have rest. I don't want you having anxiety. I want you to have rest. I don't want you to be stressed out. I want you to have rest. I don't want you to be walking around in fear. I want you to have rest. He said, come to me, all you that. If you got something going on, Jesus is the right one to go to. And so he says, I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. He says, for my yoke is, and my burden is. This is an invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ to live a stress-free, worry-free life, that if you will do it God's way, you'll get God results. And so the writer says in Hebrews 12, he said, man, you got to start laying aside all those weights. Man, I'm not going to be in no fear. God is greater than anything. God is greater than any situation. And you know how I know? Because I've been living, you can use your own age, but I've been on this planet for 43 years. And for 43 years, God has never failed me yet. For 43 years, God has always opened the door. He's always made a way. He has always come through. You got it? And if he did it before, he'll do it again. Same God right now, same God back then. So I have faith in the faithfulness. So I'm laying this stuff aside. It's getting too heavy. I can't keep doing this. You understand? No, because I was not designed to carry stuff like this. Forget trying to be all big and bad and I'll just carry the weight of the family. You weren't designed to carry the weight of the family. You weren't designed. You were designed to lay everything aside, to give it unto Jesus, so you can be free to function the way you're supposed to function, so you can take care of you and help somebody. I'm teaching better than you shouting amen in here. Everybody say pack light. All right. So this is an invitation from the, ooh, that feels good too. And when you let it go, you got to shake that off. You know, I was up there. I don't know how many minutes I've been doing this, but I was up there for a minute. Let me see. I had 28 minutes. I'm down to 13. Okay. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Well, I don't have to work out this afternoon, babe. And I think that means that when we go to lunch, I can eat whatever I want. I can even get a milkshake, right? Okay, y'all heard it say it was all right. Because Norma should tell me, babe, you don't need to be having that. You need to go back and get on the treadmill. You know, lady be trying to work me. You know, she'd be on that Peloton, you know, she'd be on that Peloton an hour and 20 minutes. After 20 minutes, I'm like, Lord Jesus, please help me. See, I try to tell you, we were not all designed for Peloton. All right, so let's switch from the whole stress and anxiety, and because we understand we have to let that go. Let's talk about relationships, because let's be honest, relationships can be the source of much frustration if not handled properly. I submit to you, relationships can be the source of much frustration if you're connected to somebody you shouldn't be connected to. And I'm not trying to be mean. Y'all know I'm not a hateful person. I'm not talking like that. But the bottom line is, we're not designed to be connected to everybody. Like, there are people that God has connected us with for destiny. Now, everybody we meet along the way, we're going to love them. We're going to be kind to them and those kind of things. But when it comes to covenant connections, when it comes to being in fellowship, you know, God has not designed for you just to be connected with everybody, right? And that's okay. That's not a bad thing. You know, the longer I live, and I don't know why, but the longer I kind of know why, the longer I live, the smaller my circle becomes. Just kind of how that is, you know. When I was, you know, 18, 20, man, I had 57 friends. We all did everything together. You got it? But the older I got and the more I developed and the more I matured and the more I grew into things of God and the more I focused and honed in on vision and what God had for my life, it didn't make the 57 people bad, but we realized we weren't all going down the same route. We weren't all going the same way. So they went their way and they went their way, and it didn't make them bad and it didn't make me bad. It just means that we weren't connected for destiny. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so relationships can be, doesn't have to be, but can be the source of much stress, anxiety, if not handled properly. This is why we must make righteous commitments in the area of our relationships. I have a definition for righteous commitments, and they'll put it up on the screen. A righteous commitment is a calculated choice whereby I obligate myself to do what God's word says do in any given situation. So in relationships, I've always got to do what God's word says. And it is a calculated choice. It is not an emotional choice. It is a calculated choice. Because how many know that your emotions will be sometime up and sometime down? Right? So it's not based on emotion. It's based on making a calculated choice based on this word from God that I'm always going to do what God's word says do in any given situation. And when I say relationships, I'm not just talking about marriage relationships or courting relationships. I'm talking about business relationships. I'm talking about coworker relationships. I'm talking about friendships. I'm talking about just the guys that I go and I see at the gym. In every relationship, watch this. I should be, and you should be, the godly influence and the righteous consciousness in every relationship. People should be able to look at us as children of God and see what righteous behavior looks like. Does that make sense? Yeah. And it doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we're going to make, you know, we're not going to make mistakes. We all have sinned. You got it? The Bible didn't say y'all have sinned. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I'm not saying we're going to be perfect, but we are people of God that wake up every day and we're going to give God our very best. Even if last night I went off on somebody at the basketball game because I did not like the way that they called that foul on my son. It's in his senior year. Let him play the full game. I know I got issues. You understand? But even if I, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. But watch this. When I go to sleep, I get it right. I wake up the next day, brand new day, brand new mercies. I got another chance to do it God's way. Y'all getting anything out of this? All right. So everybody say pack light. Yeah. Let's be honest about relationships, and especially for me, business relationships. I think I've seen this the most in. You can do everything right in a relationship and it not work out if the other person doesn't do their part. If the other person doesn't have integrity, if the other person doesn't have good character. I mean, it can be in any relationship. You know why? Because it takes two to make a thing go right. Isn't that right? Yeah, it takes two. Lady LaConte and I, this December, will have been married 23 years. And I believe that we will have been married 23 years is because we made it. Hey, man, that's a good place to clap for us. We appreciate that. You got it. And so I believe that it is because we made a commitment to do it God's way. We put Jesus at the center of our marriage. Does that mean we've been both perfect? Absolutely not. Does that mean we made some mistakes? We sure have. But we made a commitment to come right back to the Word. We made a commitment to not let the sun go down on our wrath and be angry with each other at night. We made a commitment to communicate and to keep on communicating and to work through things. We made a commitment to make each other our priority. And I'm telling you, if you do it God's way, where you get God results. And so the truth is sometimes you can do everything right and it still not work out. You got it? I know people that are divorced that are beating themselves up right now because they had to go through a divorce and everything. But the truth is, and I'm not saying none of us are perfect, but they pretty much did everything that they could. But when the will of others is involved, if the other person doesn't want to do right, there's nothing you can do. You got it? Yeah. Listen. How many of you can't make anybody do right? Like a person forced against their will is of the same opinion still. Right? Yeah. And so you just can't make everybody do right. You know, there are people in life that will connect to you for what you have. And when they realize they can't get it anymore, you got it. Or when the well, so to speak, runs dry, they disappear. But what a friend we have in Jesus. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll be with us until the end. And so you got to really learn how to pack light. You know, my pastor used to tell me years ago, he says you have to be friendly because the Bible says if a man wants friends, he must show himself friendly, right? He says, be friendly, but don't make your friends. Let God make your friends. That's some of the best wisdom I could have ever had. Because I'm a nice guy. I'll be everybody's friend. Like, I'm just telling you, I'm going to be everybody's friend. You know, I'm a giver. I help people. Like, you know, I can't even carry cash because every time I carry cash, it's gone. I had a bunch of cash on me this morning. My cash is all gone. I see these babies I ain't seen in a long time, and I pull out money, and, you know, so I'm the kind of guy, I can be anybody's friend. I can help anybody, but one thing I learned, be friendly to everybody, be nice to everybody, but let God make the connections in my life. Because if I let God make the connections, they'll be long lasting. Because you're going to encounter different kinds of people in life. You know, one type of person you're going to encounter are confidants. Everybody say confidants. You will run into very few of these in your lifetime. Two, maybe three. I mean, these people are in your life and they're not going anywhere. They are in it for the long haul. They are, watch this, they are into you and they are for you. They are for the long haul. Y'all can fuss tonight and then tomorrow they'll call you. So where are we going to lunch? I mean, like, they are going to be your friend. They're never, you got it. It's a God connection. You can mess up. You can get in trouble. They gonna come rescue you. They'll go to the jailhouse. They'll go to the crack house. They'll go to the whorehouse. They'll just come get. Did he say on a Sunday morning? Yes, he did. Because this is the type of friend that says, I don't care what kind of trouble you get in, I'm gonna be there to help you through because God put us together. So they are in it for you. My thing is this. If I'm in a relationship with somebody, you got it. Now, I don't believe in, you know, keeping score. You got it. If me and Pastor Pat go to lunch, it's not like, well, okay, well, so I paid last time. You got it. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. You got it. But watch this. But we should both be in a relationship where I'm going to do anything I can for him and he's going to do anything he can for me. If all of a sudden I switch on him and he's doing everything he can for me and I'm never feeling like I'm trying to do something for him, you know, then the relationship can get weary because every relationship should be reciprocal. These are things that we're trying to teach our children. You got it? Trying to teach them reciprocity and being around the right people and having integrity and having good character. And when you say something, it should be so. And if you're always hanging around people that say something and it's not so, that might not be the right kind of people you're hanging out with. You know, my son's leaving for Navy boot camp in just a few months. And, you know, I know he's ready. And we've had lots of talks and stuff. And me being in the Marine Corps, I've told him, now, son, when you get here, you're going to probably see this. And when you get to the barracks, you're going to see this. And if you're not sure, just call me. I told him, you know, I'm not going to try to run your life or those kind of things, but I'll give you all the wisdom I can give you. And if you ever get in trouble, call Dad first. I don't care how mad you think I'm going. I'm not going to be mad if you call me. I'm going to be mad if you don't call me. I'm going to get on a plane and come around your neck if you don't call me. But if you could just call me, Because I told him, Doc, I told him, nobody's going to take care of you like I'm going to take care of you. Nobody's going to love you and look out for you and try to figure out how do we get you out of this. I pray it don't happen, but if it does, call Dad first. Because if you are in Mississippi and it takes 12 hours to drive to Mississippi, if you call me at 9, I'll be there by 12. Because I'm, watch this, I'm in a relationship with him and I love him and I'm going to do anything I can to help him. Does that make sense? That's a good place to clap right there. Confidants, confidants. I'm almost done, y'all. I'm almost done. Second one is constituents. So constituents, they are not for you. They are just what you, they are just for what you are for. As long as you are for what they are for, they will walk with you, but never think they are for you. They're only for what you are for. It's important to know this because if they ever find someone else that will further their agenda than yours, they'll get up and walk away. Because they were never into you, they were never for you, they were just for what you were for. Does that make sense? And then the last one I want to share with you are comrades. Comrades, these people are not for you, they're not into you, they're not even for what you're for, they're just against what you're against. So they will team up with you to fight for the greater good. You got it? They'll team up to fight the enemy. But don't get it twisted. Don't be confused about it. Once the victory is over, they're going to pack up their stuff and they're gone. And you might never see them again. See, these people are like scaffolding. Scaffolding comes into your life for a purpose. You got it? And once the purpose is fulfilled, the scaffolding gets torn down and it gets taken away. Watch this, but the building is still there. And so the writer teaches us that our people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. And so the reason that I share this with you, because we're talking about packing light and these kind of things, and the reason I share this with you is the next time somebody changes their mind about you, the next time somebody walks away, the next time somebody lies and does all those kind of things, you won't have to fall apart. You understand? You can learn how to take a licking and keep on ticking. You can learn how to just forgive people and let it go instead of starting to build up how this person did something to me and this person did something to me. That's not God's will for your life. It's not God's will for your life to walk around with all this excess baggage, because you weren't designed to walk around with this excess baggage. You were designed by God to be free. Because whom the Son has made free is free indeed. So my thing is, if you're a child of the King and you're free, why are you walking around in bondage? Because it's not bondage that God put on you. Come on, somebody. You got it. And so if the enemy try to put something on you, you got it. You got to get rid of it. 1 Peter 5:7. I think this is a good place to go home, because if not, I'll teach for another 17 minutes. Y'all, a good class is flowing today. Amen. Yeah. Come here, Ben. Right there. You ready? Ready? You want to go high or low? It don't matter. You ready, Ben? Ben. I didn't throw this one at him at the 9 o'clock. Put the scripture back up, please. Casting all, not some, but all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. Stress, anxiety, fear, depression, low self-esteem, cast it all. Bad relationships, relationships that didn't go right, cast it all. The writer says, cast all your care upon him. Watch this. For he cared for you. Why do I want Jay to call me? And I don't really believe anything is going to go wrong, but I'm just saying, you know, as parents, you have to have these talks. You don't need to have this talk on the other side. You got it. I've had all kind of talks with him. You got all kind, you know. Some just between me and him. His mama don't even know. I just had to talk to him about some things. And he's like, Dad. I said, no, I just need to tell you. Why? Because I care for him. And why do I want him to call me? Because I care for him. Why do I want him to check in with me? I know he's going to be a quote-unquote adult out on his own. But, you know, he's going to find out quick. I still need Dad and Mom. You know how I know? Because same thing happened to me. I went to the military, Marine Corps. Yeah, you know, hoorah, born to fight, trained to kill, ready to die, but never will. You know, and did all that. I excelled in boot camp. I was in like the top three. I could run faster than everybody. But when I finally got to where I was going, you know, I realized, man, I need my dad. Because my dad knows some stuff. My mom understands some things that I don't. And if I can allow them to help guide me, I can get to where I'm trying to go quicker without all the extra unneeded stress and anxiety and mistakes. And I told son, there's some mistakes I made that you don't have to make because I already made them. So I can keep you from making them. See, it's called mentorship. See, mentorship is just taking somebody down a road that you've already been. So the reason I can help you eliminate some of the things that I did is because I've already been down that road. And to the degree that we will begin to just give things to God, to the degree we'll just cast all our care upon Him, the Bible says He cares for us. So why do I go to God? Because He cares for me. Why do I pray to God? Because He cares for me. Why do I do the, you know, why does God want me to do? Because He cares for me and He knows what's best for me. The enemy doesn't care about us. The enemy wants, the Bible says, John 10:10, it is the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what the enemy does. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building.